I was out at the beach yesterday or Friday night after work and went over to Lincoln City by myself. My wife is out of town. She's in a wedding in San Francisco. And so I took off, fed the dog first, went out to the beach, and it was beautiful out there. And I took my sermon notes with me, and I got this jar of sand. And I sat on the edge of the beach, and I looked at God's creation, and I was just amazed. I've been out there several times, been amazed, but there's something special. Maybe it's because I had my sermon notes with me, and I was looking at the scripture, sitting on the shore, and seeing the awesomeness of God. And God reminded me, because the message I have today is that He has a message for you and me, a message for the world. And the question that runs across my mind, have you ever felt insignificant? Have you ever felt that? I have. Have you ever felt alone or afraid? Maybe nobody cares. I never looked at statistics, but there's a lot of statistics of teenagers committing suicide because they feel alone and hopeless. And there's a lot of people in this world are going other directions other than God, trying to find hope in this world. And it's hard to find without God. Yes, we have the beaches of, the beautiful coast out here. We have the mountains here. We have the sunshine. We have those moments of happiness and fulfillment. But there's times, and I don't think there's one person in this room that has never felt that insignificant at one point or another, or that loneliness, or that feeling that, is there a God? Where are you, God? What is going on? The scripture, the Bible, is loaded with promises. It's full of promises of God's promises, of Him speaking to us and giving us hope, giving us direction, giving us life and purpose in this life. But we got to believe it. It's easy to believe a lot of things that are taught to us today. And we believe certain things because the person who's telling those things has validation. They know they have credibility. They have they're a professor, so the teacher knows everything. He knows what he's talking about. He's a scientist. He knows what he's talking about in his field. We believe these people in these particular areas because they're experts, and so therefore we trust them. We have faith in what they say, to a point. But people such as our parents, who we believed when we were little kids, and we just worshiped them. And as time went along, we started to find out that they weren't perfect, and the things that they said weren't always true. Maybe they failed you or failed us, and they did so with me. In this life, in my younger years, that is what happened. My parents divorced when I was 2, and I don't remember anything about it, but I know it affected me because of what I've learned since then. I know that as I was growing up, I felt insignificant. I was very shy. I felt alone. I was 13 years with a stepdad who was abusive to my mother every weekend of those 13 years. So I know what it is to feel alone, and I know what it is to feel like, who cares? I'm insignificant. And therefore, it hindered who I was and what I did in my life. I was afraid to do things because of that feeling of insignificance, of fear, of doubt, because I had nothing to hang on to. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says that now faith is the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. That's what faith is. It is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. There's something, we don't see it, but we are sure that it's going to happen or that it did happen. And that's faith. Now, what's our confidence in? in this life? What's it? Is it in your parents? Is it in the president? Is it in the governor? Is it in your friend, your wife, your husband? Is that who your confidence is in? Is that where you get your have your faith in? Or is it in God? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, we believe that. Look up into the sky. We were talking about the sun. We look up at the sky and we see all the stars and the beauty in the universe at night. And we see that those things were, we hear that they're placed there by God, but do we believe that? The psalmist in Psalm 8 says, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens." I love the songs that were sung today. The glory of God is seen. The universe is a canopy over us. They're there. They're up there. It's up there. We see it. "You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them." The psalmist said, when I considered the universe and the vastness of the universe, why do you even care about us? Let's take a look at that. Let's consider the universe. All right. The universe, according to physics.org, and many other websites that are out there, you can look it up yourself. The universe is made up of galaxies and space and whatever, but the galaxies in the universe, astronomers estimate there's at least 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. 100 billion. These are galaxies. It's not a star. These are galaxies that have stars in them. 100 billion. The vastness of it. The Milky Way, which is the one we see, we look up in the sky, we see stars in the sky, and some of those what seem to be stars are actually galaxies way out there. But the stars that we see here in the sky is from the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is estimated to have 100 billion to 500 or 400 billion stars in it. Stars. That's one galaxy, 100 to 400 billion. Well, why the wide span? 100 billion to 400 billion? That's because it's an estimate, and it's only based on the mass of the star, and they can only predict and say that it could be this size, but there's a lot of stars this size, so depending on the size of the star determines how many there are out there. It's hard to get an accurate number, but this is the range, 100 billion to 400 billion stars in one galaxy of 100 billion galaxies. That's a lot. It would take approximately, went to the beach, got an illustration here for you. It would take approximately 100. Let's see, where was it at here? Where's my notes? In the 100 billion, you would have in one. This is one pint. There are two cups in here. And according to the estimates, and based on the mass of the sand, because there's different sizes of sand out there, there are 4 million grains of sand in this jar right here. 4 million grains of sand. it would take to get 100 million grains of sand, the minimum amount that's in our galaxy, it would take 25,000 jars of sand, 25,000 jars of sand to make the amount of stars that are in the Milky Way. That's huge. I'm going to open this thing up here. All right. I'm going to have you pass this grain of sand around. Can you see it? Oh, there's a bunch of them there. My goodness, better take one off there. Let's get all that off. Oh, there's one in there. All right, I want you to pass that around. All right. Can you see it? Yeah, let's see. I'll give you a bunch of them. And you can pass one around there. Okay, so you got a grain of sand. If it gets back to you, that would be a miracle in and of itself. So we have 4 million grains of sand, approximately, estimate, in here representing the stars in the Milky Way. Psalm 147, 4 through verse 4 says, He determines the number of stars, and He calls them each by name. That's a pretty big God. This is just a little bit of sand I scooped up off the beach. I can't, you know, it's just beyond me. What is God? What is man that God is mindful of us? And He says, and you got to believe this. If you don't believe it, if you don't believe that part of the Scripture, then don't believe the rest of the Scripture. It's either all or nothing. So God is saying that He created this universe that we live in. Let's go a little bit further. Our sun, let's just look at our sun, the one little star up there. Pretend that one grain of sand you got there is the sun. That sun is has a radius of 432,450 miles. A diameter of 864,938 miles. That's the diameter of the sun across the sun. It would take 109 Earths to span across the sun. That's one star in the Milky Way. That's massive in and of itself. I was listening to the PBS program, I think it was Nova, and they were talking about Saturn, which is in our solar system. And Saturn is way out there in terms of our solar system. And they know only a fraction about what that planet is about. They know, they were claiming, scientists are studying it, and they know very little about that one little planet circling that grain of sand that you're passing around. One thing. So we're pretty small. And there's a feeling of insignificance and feeling of, why is God even mindful of me? The closest star to our sun is called Proxima Centauri. Proxima Centauri was named by man. God did, well, maybe God named him, but man named it. God has a name for it, but the closest star to our sun is approximately 4.2 light years away. 4.2 light years away from our sun. Oh, that's not very far, 4.2. Okay, well, you know what a light year is? A light year is how far light can travel in 1 year. Now, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Not by per hour, but per second. That's how fast light travels. So in 1 year, 365.25 days, that is equivalent to, see if I can figure it out here, 5,878,499,817,000 miles in 1 year. That's how far light can travel. In 1 year, one light year. The closest star is 4.2 light years away. Multiply that by 4.2 light years, and you have 24,689,699,231,400 miles from our sun, give or take. One star, two stars, our sun, the other one. And how many stars are minimal in our universe, the Milky Way? 100 billion. It just blows my mind. In fact, I had to go back over these facts several times. I'd lay in bed and I'd go, that can't be true. So I'd open it up again and I'd find these facts. Now, these facts are based on scientific and mathematical calculations, and I don't know, I cannot pretend to know what it's about. Dave Chambers probably can do it with the back of his head. You know, I don't know, because he's a mathematician. But I know this, it's a lot, and I'm trusting they're right in this. And they're even admitting that these are estimates because it's so massive, it's so big. That is the universe. That's why the psalmist asked the question, who is man, or what is man that you're mindful of, is when I consider the heavens and the universe. Another fun fact, if you don't mind. The fastest rocket to date is can travel at 20,000 miles per hour, approximately. It would take to get to Proxima Centauri, the closest star, 137,000 years to get there. That's the first star. We haven't even left the Milky Way, and there's billions of galaxies with other, you know, millions or billions of stars within each one of those galaxies. It's vast. It is vast. So why in the world would God even give a rip about me? Or you? But he does. Who has measured the water, as Isaiah 40 says? Who has measured the water in the hollow of his hands, or the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can counsel? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Who? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Any of you guys up here want to raise your hand on that one? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on a scale. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Before him, the nations are nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for idols, hey, let's make an idol. The metal worker can cast it. The goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. The person too poor to present such an offering selects the wood. We got a commoner making the wood that will not rot. They look at for a skilled worker to set up the idol that so it won't topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard that it has it not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princesses to naught and reduces rulers of this world to nothing. You got problems with our rulers in this world? God's in control. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Do you believe that? It doesn't seem like they're going to go away, does it? It doesn't seem like our president, for those that don't like him, is going to go away. Or anyone else who rules in this world. But God says, in any time, and he does, he can blow on them and they're gone like chaff. To whom will you compare me, says the Lord? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name? Who does that? This is a drop in the bucket of how many stars are in the heavens. He calls them by name. Because of his great power, his mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you complain, Steve? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from God? God doesn't know. Oh, God doesn't know what's going on in my life. He doesn't understand how I feel. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Don't worry about it, he's saying right here. I'm big enough, and you're not too small. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired. You guys get tired? Good. And young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the creator of this massive universe, and I'm not talking about the earth, I'm just talking about the universe, let alone the earth, which has its own power and beauty and creation and amazing. Just the creation of the human body is amazing. And who did that? The Bible says God did. You got to believe this. If you don't, there's no hope, because he offers the promise. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings of eagles. They will run and not and they will run and grow not weary, and they will walk and not faint. So why does God even care for us? There's a couple things. I mean, we can talk about a lot of things. There's endless things of why God cares for us. And in light of everything out here and what I just told you, it's kind of depressing. I'm pretty puny. But on the flip side of that coin, God is big. And all my little problems and my big problems to me, because they're real. They are real to me. And they hurt and they weigh me down. God is not too small to take care of them, and are not, and certainly I'm not too small for him to even care. Genesis tells us one reason. Genesis 1 tells us that God created us in his image. In all of creation and all the universe, God said, God created man. When he created man and woman, mankind, in his image. God said, let there be light. Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. He's talking to you. Be fruitful, increase in numbers, and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit and with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. You're included in that list. Man is included. It's very good. God does care. despite. The question was, what is man that he's mindful of me? The son of man that he even gives a rip? Because we were made in his image. And it was very good. You were valuable. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how you feel today, you are important to God. You were made in his image. The psalmist confirms that. He says, you made them a little lower. This is Psalm 8, verse 5 through 9. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them to rule over the works of your hand. You put everything under their feet. All the flocks and the herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim in the path of the sea. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In all the earth. This earth, this tiny speck rotating around that grain of sand that's passing around here. The sun, there's this little smaller grain of sand twirling around that sun, and on that little grain of sand are 6 billion people that God says is important and he cares about and he loves. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before your word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. God knows every word before him. He knows you. He understands you. He's not surprised by your thoughts. He's not surprised by your words. Because he knows you. You are important to him. He takes the time to think about you. Do you believe that? The Bible says so. The scriptures say so. And by faith, if you believe that, it can fill your heart with confidence, knowing that God cares enough to even know my thoughts, good and bad thoughts. Good and bad. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I were to go to the heavens, you would be there. If I were to make my bed in the depths, you were there. If I were to rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settled on a far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me in the light, and the light becomes night around me. Even darkness will not be dark to you, O Lord. The night will shine like the day. The darkness as the light is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God knows you. He formed you in the mother's womb. All the organs and all the physical aspects of this body, which is amazing in of itself. That is a sermon in of itself, a message about how wonderful this body is and how intricate and how complex this mind is and everything that's in it. God did the knitting. God did the forming in your body to make you a wonderful thing, this precious thing. Let me change that word thing, person. He cares about you. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God is saying this, and the psalmist is writing it down. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place in my mother's womb. When I was made there, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. God knew you'd be sitting here today. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows you. He cares about you. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. He made this vast universe, as we've just learned. We see how vast it is, and yet he cares about us. Still, were I to count the stars of the universe, they would outnumber the grains of sand. If I were to count the thoughts that God has for me, they would outnumber the grains of sand. You think that God doesn't care and he's not thinking about you? Count one by one these grains of sand, and there are 4 million approximately grains of sand just in this one jar that God intimately thinks about you and has thoughts about you constantly. How can he do that? I don't know. The Bible says that he thinks those things. And by faith, I believe that. And when by faith I believe that, all of a sudden my problems drift away. And it's not a mental ascent. It is an awareness that God is in my life and he's really working in my life and he cares about everything that's going on in my life, good and bad. He cares because he loves us. God does care for us. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. The righteous are those who believe in the Son. But don't, if you don't know or don't believe in the Son, don't let that discourage you, because he cares for you when you're yet still a sinner. He cared for you, cares for you now. If you don't believe right now and you are lost without God and don't know him and haven't asked him to come into your life, he still cares for you. You have value to him. His thoughts are of you, and he wants you to believe in him and trust him. Naaman 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. Times of trouble, times of loneliness, times of insignificance, times of despair, times when you feel alone and it's like everyone's against me. God is a refuge during those times. He will care for those who will trust in him. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You're anxious. I was anxious before I came up here for a little thing like this, and I'm among good company. But I was anxious, but God cared enough for that little thing in my life. It's a wonderful thing. God loved us before we were Christians, and this is his ultimate act of love, sending Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love extended towards us before we even believed. Before I believed, when I was a lost atheist who didn't want to believe in a creator, a God. The only representation I had as God or someone that really cared was my mother. And through the times where she went through divorces and the times where there was abuse, and when I grew up, and I became my own person. I remember a time when my brother and I came home, and some of you may have heard the story, but I came home, and we had been out drinking and been partying, and I was drunker than a drunken sailor, however drunk that is, because I've never been a sailor. I came home, walked into the house. I was an adult. Both of us were. And my mom was living with her two half-brothers in this little house, and she worked in a nursing home to make ends meet. And she was playing cards, I remember, with her friends in the house. We came in the house drunk, busted through the door, fell over the couch, tumbled down on the ground, drunker than all get out. And my mom, I remember hearing her say, I don't remember the ladies' names, but she called them by name and said, "These are my boys." A mother's, she was not ashamed of us. She introduced us as, "These are my sons." And I was at my worst state, and my mother still loved me. That is the image of God. All of us have been created in that image. We are of value. We are of purpose. And God showed himself through that one thing. And years later, I come to realize that I did need a God and a Savior to make it in this life. God cares about us. You see, Romans 5, just at the right time, Romans 5, 6, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord will be saved and be delivered. Saved from what? Saved from our despair, our loneliness, our lack of ability to make it in this life, or our hurt. Maybe we've made it in this life and we're doing well financially. Maybe we're successful, and that's all good. God, praise God for that, that God has given you the gift to do that. But there's times where you feel like you're alone. I want you to know that God cares and he's with us. What is man that God is mindful of us? You're wonderfully made. You're beautiful in his sight. There's many, many more scriptures in here that God has for us and promises that he has for us. There's a video, YouTube video I'm going to play. It's by a songwriter, Twyla Paris, songwriter-singer. This goes back, she wrote this song in the 80s, I believe. It's "Every Heart That Is Breaking." I'd like you to listen to it at this moment.
Left alone without a reason, for the pilgrim.
You feel insignificant? You feel that God isn't there? He is there, and he does care. And I want you to go away from here knowing that we have a wonderful God and an awesome God. And if you don't know him, at this very moment, all you have to say is, I want you, God. And God is there waiting. He wants to come into your life and into your heart and give you hope and purpose as well as eternal life. But hope and purpose in this life. And God will meet you where you're at. You don't have to clean up. And if you already know him, but you're hurting, remember his promises are there. Remember that he cares and he's with us until he returns again. And when we're in him in glory, we're going to face hard times in this life, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray and close. Father, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you for the message that you have, that you care for us, and that despite in this vast universe, we are important, and that you see us as valuable and precious in your sight. So now I ask you, God, to reach into the heart of everyone in this room and touch them where they're at. Bring those who don't know you to you and deliver us all in our moment of need. In Jesus' name, amen.